live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach calls for calm heads in Northern Ireland after Edwin Poots resigns the DUP leadership. Meanwhile, former DUP MEP Jim Wells says Paul Given should remain in place as First Minister. Booster shots and annual vaccine renewals are likely to be part of the long-term battle against COVID-19, according to the head of the HSC. Ireland is set to receive over €1 billion in funding from the European Union from its Brexit Adjustment Reserve. We will hear from the Agriculture and Marine Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, and also from Deputy Joe McHugh. And a South Donegal Fianna Fáil TD says if the micro-address issue isn't addressed, he'll resign from the party. Later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. Well, the Taoiseach this afternoon called for calm heads in Northern Ireland following the resignation of Edwin Poots as DUP leader. Mr. Poots stepped down just 3 weeks into his role following anger within the party after he did a deal earlier this week with the British government on Irish language laws. Paul Given was put forward as First Minister yesterday, despite some DUP representatives wanting a delay to the nomination. Well, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says what's needed now in Northern Ireland is stability.
It has been a very turbulent 24 hours. I think it's very important that we all work collectively on the island towards maintaining stability and calm heads, staying focused on what is important to the people within Northern Ireland, which is a government and that can work on fundamental pressing issues.
Well, the Taoiseach is calling for calm heads in Northern Ireland following Mr. Poots' resignation, as you've heard. Well, former DUP MEP Jim Wells says, as far as the First Minister position is concerned, he believes Paul Given should stay in place.
Certainly, if it was my decision, I would keep Paul. I think Paul's an excellent candidate and a really good executive member, very bright and able. Do you know, you say that a week's a long time in politics, 24 hours is a huge chasm in the politics of Northern Ireland.
Booster shots and annual vaccine renewals are likely to be part of the long-term battle against COVID-19. That's according to the head of the HSE. Speaking to Shannonside, Paul Reid said while the international medical data on the long-term efficacy of COVID vaccines is incomplete, the HSE is planning for the possibility of booster shot rollouts. With more, here's Daniel Considine.
The Health Service CEO says that vaccine renewals may be needed to combat future outbreaks as well as new variants of the disease. According to the HSE chief, while evidence and science from across the world is still not clear on future vaccine needs, the HSE has begun working on plans for a possible rollout of booster shots should they be needed. Speaking to the Joe Finnegan Show today, Paul Reid says it's likely that some form of booster will be needed should future variants of the disease spread.
I think it's two assumptions we probably can make. One is that there probably will need to be a vaccination programme into the future. And we need to think about how we plan for that and how we do it. Whether that's boosters or whether it's an annual renewal of the vaccine is still not fully medically determined just yet. But the likely evidence will be there will be a need for a booster or an annual renewal.
The HSE CEO is also highlighting the effectiveness of the vaccine in combating the Delta variant of COVID-19 in those who are fully vaccinated. According to the head of the health service, vaccines and an expanded track and trace programme are the key elements in plans to tackle the more contagious variant of the virus nationally.
Vaccines do give a stronger protection. The Pfizer Moderna one would give a 96% protection and indeed the AstraZeneca give a 92% protection against hospitalisation against that Delta variant. One of the reasons we have what we call is an enhanced tracing process in place. So if we detect a variant, as you've just described there, a case, we do increased contact tracing. So, you know, in some cases where we might not deem a person as being a close contact, if it's a case of a variant, we would deem a lot more people close contacts.
Daniel Considine for Shannonside Northern Sound News.
Ireland will receive over €1 billion in funding from the European Union from their Brexit Adjustment Reserve, which has been established to help EU states that have been hardest hit by the UK's departure from the EU. The government says the money will go to businesses who have lost trade as a result of Brexit, as well as preserving jobs and aiding fishing and farming communities. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh says the money will have wide-ranging benefits.
Brexit here, now we're talking about this over 5 years, from 2016. in. So in fairness to businesses, a lot of them have evolved in terms of their market distribution, and I think on a number of sectors and even locally in the county where there was a big reliance in the United Kingdom market, a lot of them have moved towards America as well. So there has been a big transition by companies themselves. But with that transition, there's costs, and obviously profit margins would have been impacted.
Well, it's expected that much of the money will be distributed through Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConlough's department. He told Highland Radio News this evening he'll be fighting to ensure that's the case.
Yeah, I would certainly be expecting that and fighting for that as well, Donal. Obviously, it's really welcome that we're seeing the over €1 billion from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve at European level being allocated to Ireland. It represents 21% of the total allocation, and by far we're getting the highest allocation of any EU member state, and that's absolutely correct that that's the way it is, because of the fact that of all member states, we have been impacted more than any other. And of course, within the country then, agriculture and particularly fisheries have been the sectors most impacted. So I certainly will now be engaging with my colleagues in relation to ensuring that we get a very strong slice of that funding to support those sectors.
A South Donegal Fianna Fáil TD says he'll resign from the party if the micro-redress scheme is not changed to meet 100% of the costs. The government is under pressure from homeowners to meet the full costs of remediation and rebuilding. Thousands of people from Donegal, Mayo, Sligo and other counties protested in Dublin over the scandal earlier this week. Well, Mark McSharry said this evening he won't be the only TD to resign from Fianna Fáil if the issue isn't satisfactorily resolved.
That's it. That's what it needs to be for me. And I know that Dara Cleary has said that if it comes to standing with the people or the party on this issue, he knows what he'll be doing. If they're going to let people's houses fall down around them, having looked after people in Dublin and Leinster, then that's a big, big problem. Yeah, it's 100%. You've got to look after people. I'll be standing with him.
Donegal County Council and Finn Harps are involved in a series of meetings regarding the management of the Donegal Community Stadium, which is being built in Stranora and will provide the League of Ireland club with a new stadium. Work on the project had stalled, but funding of almost €4 million in April has seen the project recommence. This week's council meeting included a lengthy discussion on foot of motions from councillors Martin Harley and Gary Doherty, calling on the authority to take the lead on the project. The council says it had a constructive meeting with the club last week and more discussions are planned. Well, councillor Martin Harley says it would make sense for the council to take the lead.
This is not just about the Finn Harps senior squad. This is about what they are contributing to the academy and the structure within the county. I think it's over 170 players here in the academy, and they come from the five electoral areas throughout the county. Harps are contributing a lot to the local economy. Now, I want the council to come on board because I feel it's Shelbourne, Shamrock Rovers, and I see now where Sligo as well are putting a proposal forward. So there is examples of this throughout the country, where they're community stadiums, but I think, I feel if it's council-led, and I'm not saying that the council should be funding, because the council have enough projects to fund, but I would like them to come on board, and I think that the national organisations would feel more comfortable probably putting through the money going towards the projects or going through a council, and there's more accountability as well then.
In terms of the discussion, we know there was a meeting between Harps and the council last week. There's another meeting to take place in the coming weeks. But it certainly seemed from what Joe Peoples, the Director of Services, was saying at the meeting, the council is open to this. I mean, the council is very much willing to come on board if it believes the conditions are right, and the discussions so far seem to be positive.
Well, in fairness to the council, they zoned all these lands back a number of years ago for a centre of excellence for sport, and this main stadium will be available for rugby and Gaelic. The other projects around it will continue to develop. Plus, of course, we have the Finn Valley Athletic Centre there as well. We have an AstroTurf of possibly up to $2 million that's coming as well there in the same area. And we have the swimming pool. So there is so much going on there at the moment. So that's why the council are prepared to work with them and move this project on.
And that was Councillor Martin Harley. A woman in her 80s has died in a crash in County Cavan. Garda are investigating the single vehicle crash in the townland of Manelty in Stradon. The woman in her early 80s was the only occupant of the car. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Her body was taken to Cavan General Hospital, where a post-mortem examination will take place. The road remains closed as Garda forensic collision investigators are at the scene. Garda are urging any witnesses to make contact. Insurance Ireland says it will respond to the preliminary findings of the EU Commission, which found it breached competition rules. It's over the alleged restriction on a data sharing system that the Commission says places companies at a competitive disadvantage. The Commission found that insurers prevented the entry of new players and reduced Irish drivers' choice of motor insurance policies at competitive prices. Donegal TD Piers Doherty now wants the Finance Committee to call Insurance Ireland to answer questions about the Commission findings. On board, Planola has cleared the way for a major development project at Burtonport Harbour after accepting a CPO form submitted by Donegal County Council in 2019. Local councillor Micheál Cullen-McLeod-Osbeck says the project has been characterised by delays and some disagreements up to now, but he says this now paves the way for the project to go to tender and ultimately make a major contribution to the local economy and to the local community. It'll open the door, he says, for enhanced tourism and leisure development in Burtonport, but councillor McLeod-Osbeck stresses that the needs of the local community must come first.
Well, Pernalla has now finally done a ruling on this here, and this is certainly encouraging news. The Donegal County Council will now start a process of tendering and hopefully get a contractor appointed as soon as possible. Now, I had my own issues at the time and still do about how we moved so quickly in terms of designing that whole pier, and I felt that there should have been more consultation with the public. But we are where we are now, and it's certainly encouraging to see that there's quite a large investment happening in Altacharan. We've seen the work that has already started for us and Aaron Moore on the foreshore project. So this is certainly encouraging news. The local fishing community has to be listened to, and they have to be provided for as well, that this isn't just a place for leisure and tourism. Burtonport or Altacharan is first and foremost a fishing community.
The Joe Bonner Road, linking Port Road and Neil T. Blaney Road in Letterkenny, has officially opened. The road was opened by the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Rena Donaghy, at 2:30 this afternoon. While in Letterkenny, the Cathaoirleach also turned the first sod on the project to make safety improvements and do other works on the four-lane carriageway between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts. The Garda Commissioner says there has been some talk of a Loyalist march in Dublin next month, but nothing definite. It's been suggested that Loyalists might protest in Dublin against the Northern Ireland Protocol in July. Garda and the PSNI say they're monitoring any potential developments. Commissioner Drew Harris says so far there's nothing definite.
We obviously remain in consultation with our colleagues in the Police Service of Northern Ireland, and the specific question has been asked, and they will keep us informed of anything that they hear, which may indicate that protests may happen in Dublin, but we have no firm indication whatsoever of protests being held here as reported.
Women will suffer if the state builds the new National Maternity Hospital on land leased from a private charity. That's according to the former master of Hollis Street Hospital. Dr. Peter Boylan has joined the Tánaiste in raising concerns about the influence of the Catholic Church on the new facility at the St. Vincent's Hospital site in Dublin. With more, here's Mairead Cleary.
Last year, the Sisters of Charity said they would sell a 20-acre site in Dublin 4 for €1 as a gift to the people of Ireland. It's transpired instead they are transferring the land to an independent charity which will operate the hospital and lease it to the state. Former Master of Hollis Street Maternity Hospital, Dr. Peter Boylan, explains why this may cause problems in the future.
Be funded by the state and then handed over to a private company which can sell any of the hospitals it owns, including the National Maternity Hospital, etc., etc., and which has Catholic ethos in its constitution.
People Before Profit TD Breed Smith believes the state should issue a compulsory purchase order.
People are running out of patience with, you know, trying to get a new National Maternity Hospital very badly needed, up and running. They could CPO. And I think that is probably going to have to be the step that will have to be taken.
The Sisters of Charity insists it will not have an influence on the hospital, but the Tánaiste has raised issue that the board will not be appointed by the government.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 17 minutes past five. We say good evening to Kenny Hargan.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with golf, and Rory McIlroy has teed off in his second round at the US Open. He's currently 2 under par through his first 4 holes of the second round. He's just 2 shots off the lead. Shane Lowry, he tees off at around 9 o'clock Irish time. He starts from 1 over par. The lead's currently held by American Russell Henley and South African Louis Oosthuizen. They're both on 4 under par. Meanwhile, Ireland's Leona Maguire is in the tie for the lead as she prepares for tonight's second round of the LPGA's Meijer Classic in Michigan. The Cavan native is 7 under par after a really impressive first round. Moving on to soccer and Airtricity League Premier Division action tonight. There's a big Northwest derby. Fin Harps entertain Derry City. They go into tonight's game battling for 6th place. The Fin Harps boss Ollie Horgan says the only position that counts is where you're at the end of the season.
I think the only position that matters is where you are after 36 games, Oisin, and you know, if it means that we're in a position that avoids whatever after 36 games, we take that gladly. I don't think it matters where they are on at the end of the game on Friday night, but it does matter that we try and accumulate enough points to keep us safe, and obviously we're hoping we can get something out of Friday night.
Well, former Fin Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen, he's edging towards a Fin Harps victory tonight.
Oh, it's a huge match. This season, I suppose the mentality switch over the last season or two to Fin Harps Derry in terms of Fin Harps going, playing Derry on an even keel and believing in getting results and getting results. You know, for years and years, you know, Fin Harps struggled to beat Derry, to compete with them. And at the minute, this last few years, they're on an even keel or even an upward spiral. And at this moment in time, I know there's only a point between them in the league, but I think Harps are stronger. I think they have a stronger squad and stronger team than Derry. So there's no reason in the world why they can't go and take a 3 points on Friday night.
It's interesting to note that Harps are the last team to beat Derry. They've been in a great run since, so they have Gavin.
Yeah, they've turned around massively. They seem to have got confidence since Rory Higgins has come in and a bit of belief in themselves. I felt at the start of the season, the squad was a bit lightweight and a bit short, you know, but they definitely have turned it around a bit. Now, you do get that reaction with a new manager, and obviously a lot of them will be playing to stay there and to show Rory what they can do. So that's obviously given the shot in the arm, but whether it's sustainable with that squad, time will tell. I do believe Fin Harps are physically too strong for them, and up in Fin Park, I think that'll factor into the game, you know.
That's Gavin Cullen there. Fin Harps against Derry City, kick off tonight in Fin Park's 8 o'clock. We'll have full match commentary with Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle from 7:50 this evening. Well, there's a full round of fixtures in that SSE Electricity League Premier Division tonight. Champions and leaders Shamrock Rovers, they're away to Waterford. Bohemians, they host Drogheda. Dundalk welcome Longford to Oriel Park. It'll be Vinnie Perth's first game back in charge when he returned after returning to the club. While it's second versus third at the showgrounds between Sligo Rovers and St Pat's. All those games kicking off at 7:45. Well, in the Euros, one of the most highly anticipated games of Euro 2020 takes place tonight. Scotland have made the trip to London to take on England in Group D. Gareth Southgate's side have won 7 of the last 9 meetings between the sides. Kick-off at Wembley is at 8 o'clock. Before that, Croatia are currently in action against the Czech Republic at Hampden Park. It's currently scoreless. And Sweden, they have beaten Slovakia 1-0 in the early game in Group E in St Petersburg. Meanwhile, the British government have insisted that it's due as much as it can to ensure Wembley stages the final of the tournament. UEFA sources have refused to rule out moving matches away if overseas fans and VIPs have to quarantine upon arrival. In Gaelic games, with the league done and dusted, Donegal senior ladies, their main focus now turns to the Ulster Championship. Donegal won 3 titles in a row up to 2019, but last year under COVID restrictions, Donegal didn't play in the competition. They've travelled to play Cavan, that game's on tomorrow, and Donegal midfielder Katie Heron wants Donegal to make an impact in Ulster once again.
A long time since we've actually lost a game in Ulster, so we're pretty keen to get back out there and show what we can do and hopefully regain the title. Well, Cavan seemed to be on a pretty good run there. I suppose it's hard when they're playing in a different division in the league to us, so we haven't really come across them. But listen, they put up a huge battle to us 2 years ago, took us to extra time, and and we probably know a lot of their players and they know a lot of ours. So it's going to be a massive battle, I'd say, pretty defensive on their part. But again, it's the composure, something we're going to need to work on and try and keep the heads and just play the ball around and see what comes of it. So I'm sure it's going to be a massive battle, but one we're keen to take on.
Yes, Kevin, up against Donegal tomorrow in Ulster Senior Ladies Football Championship. It's in Breffni Park, 5 o'clock, the throw-on time. Oisin Kelly and Maureen O'Donnell will bring us full commentary from that one. In athletics, Mark English is back on the track in Spain tomorrow as he looks to close in on a place at the Olympic Games. Last Sunday, he won the 800 metres in Sweden, taking a season-best 145.70, which was half a second off the automatic qualifying mark. And this Sunday we'll be hearing from Donegal Olympian Brendan Boyce. At the start of August, Brendan will take on his third games when he lines out in the 50k walk. Boyce's place was made official earlier in the week as Team Ireland selected 7 athletes to compete across the marathon and walk events in Sapporo. We'll hear about Brendan's preparations and his target for the games this Sunday after 5 o'clock. In cricket, record breaker Kevin O'Brien called time on his 15-year one-day international career with Ireland. He made 153 appearances for his country. Meanwhile, there's a cricket inter-provincial series at 2020 taking place at Up in Sydney Parade in Sandymount today. The North West Warriors, they're playing the Northern Knights. The North West Warriors won the toss, elected to bowl. Currently, the Northern Knights are 76-4 after 12 overs. In horse racing, the Andrew Balding trained Alcohol Free won the Coronation Stakes today at Ascot. The 3-year-old was gated to victory by Kerry jockey Oisin Murphy after going off at a starting price of 11-2. And just back to golf briefly, hitting the fairways returns this weekend with episode 4. It's all about young golfers in the Northwest. Sean Quinn will be joined by Carlos O'Reilly of Dunfanaghy Golf Club, Luke Kelly, Beaver Golf Club in Belfast, Cian Page and Kieran McCormick of Portsallan Golf Club. That's the Hitting the Fairways podcast. It's on highlandradio.com and on Highland Radio's social channels this Sunday afternoon. And just to remind you, don't forget that at Fun Park tonight, Fun Harps up against Derry City, Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle, full live commentary from kickoff time of 8 o'clock. It's back to Donal.
Colm Hugget, Kenny Augustinish on North, a live egg Colm Ferreter.
Shiver Mahas of Colm Ferreter and Shal and the Free Skelty to Kurt. Sifala Chiakts Nishe Hyundai in a here Tuhal, a couple of La Nuis, Tarish and Ogurch Goel Realtus Nabratanya, can act Changa a curry vime, a me man and ogur, Mona Danningian and Co Hunnel Stormont, Raktiakt, Kri Anias, Ejeria Lin. Jerry Edwin puts on DUP as Mar Canada and Farchi Margala Rakenu in ye da three chart in ye a Kaihus of Fost. Kirkconnor Nagiliga fall to Riven Ratches, Arag Kurkaihi and Realtus, Cleelish and Galtanus a renew, Kuig Diana Jago Hin, Act Nagiliga a Horches Ja, Eg Kel Rivin. Capar Commission Your Changa, Concarta Changa, Giligori, August Lucht, Lotha Altasha, a Hossench, August a Yaravu. To Ail of Liger Janta, O'Connor Nigeliga, Forest Nigeliga, Mwenu, O'Connor Foyle, Dun Skame, Fobble Giliga, Jerter Nachwell, Gulior Arrigage, Kurta, or Foyle, Mniana, Conan Skame, a Ractal, Savage, a Ogriu, and Charton Shoy Hart. Ejuri Yalin, Ta in Estiacht, Santasa, Le Genevig Forest Nigeliga, Ivorberch, Pobble, Fridge Skame, Farberha, Lienri Giliga, Besuas, Le Cater Puncha Dayeg, Million Euro. The Vodjed Omlan Kurha are filed on Skim or Fai Trevsha Mwenihe, Yavila Fihis a dog, Uji Yavila Fihis August a Kahar. August near Hanig in Ahru Inchinya, Lukui Gliana Anuas or in Von Skulls a Geltucked at Snishe Hondi is Fi, a Yulti Kurusja or Status Mer Skull Geltucked, Tishart Monskull August Fi, Lonihis a Geltucked, a Jultu. Go foil parts of Glacus the skim, a huntish at half we land shoal again ring, togu curu the gas gold geltic to claru don scale don skim, savlian yavila august a shark jig. Shimma hodsha illegalier, slan august bannock.
Kudamagoth kudam augustinish on, I'm sure. Staying dry this evening with some bright spells, coolest in western parts with light northerly breezes. It'll stay dry overnight with a mix of cloud and clear spells, another cold night with lowest temperatures 3 to 7 degrees Celsius, light variable breezes once again. Tomorrow dry and bright with sunny spells, cloud increasing through the day, highest temperatures 16 to 18 degrees Celsius with moderate southeast winds. The main story is in brief, and the Taoiseach is calling for calm heads in Northern Ireland following the resignation of Edwin Poots as the DUP leader. There is a question mark over whether Paul Given will now remain in place as First Minister and what the future holds for Stormont. Booster shots and annual vaccine renewals are likely to be part of the long-term battle against COVID-19, according to the head of the HSE. Ireland will receive over €1 billion in funding from the European Union from its Brexit Adjustment Reserve. It's been established to help EU states hardest hit by the UK's departure from the EU. It's expected much of the money will be distributed through Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConnell's department. He told Highland Radio News this evening he will be fighting to ensure that that is the case. And South Donegal TD Mark McSharry says if the Mica redress controversy isn't resolved satisfactorily, he'll resign from the party. We're back with news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 18th of June. The death has taken place of Patsy Harkin, 2, Ardley Drive, Knockwellen, Derry, and formerly of St Anthony's, Muff. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. Funeral from his home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ardmore. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Rosaline McMenamin, Nae McMenamin, 4, Coram Square, Strabane, and formerly of Morlock Road, Glenmornan. Funeral from her home on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock for funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Millamount at 2:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Paddy McKay, Ardnasool, Ballandrate, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his niece Katrina and Tony O'Neill's residence at Clochfin, Ballandrate. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to a maximum of 50 people only, please. Funeral leaving Clochfin tomorrow morning to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on clonleyparish.com/webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kelly's Funeral Directors, Oakfield Rafoe. The death has taken place of Michael Dury, ex-councillor, Mallon, County Donegal, and formerly of Shantallow, Derry. His remains will repose at 26 Glencoe Park, Gallia, Derry, until 10 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning to St Joseph's Church, Gallia, for Mass of the Resurrection at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in St Mary's Graveyard, Ardmore, Waterside, Derry. Michael's funeral mass can be viewed live on 3patrons.org. Due to government guidelines, funeral mass is private to family and close friends only, please. And the death has taken place of Celia Friel, Ross Nikhil, Fanad. Her remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Massmount, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Fanad Day Centre, care of any family member. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the St Mary's Fanavolti Facebook page.